Let's open our Bibles tonight to a couple of places. In fact, we'll start with just one. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. And this sermon's been banging around in my mind for a week or so here. It's just something that you've heard so often. So much has been said out of this passage. So many sermons have been preached. You probably have heard so many that you have a favorite somewhere. But this really was driven home to me for some reason this last week or so. Let me take you down to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's just start at the top for now. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. It says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap unto them to themselves rather, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou, so Timothy, you watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. Paul's ready to go. The time of my departure is at hand. Of course, Paul died mortally. We're hoping to not have to die mortally. Says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, thank you once again. We pray that you'll bless the few minutes we have together tonight. Appreciate what folks have gone through these last weeks and months, for that matter. It's been a crazy year. We now come upon towards the end of the year 2020, and not very many of us will be sad to see it pass. We pray that you might help us, Lord, to endure afflictions and to do what's right in spite of those afflictions. Times the hardships make it more easy to do wrong. We pray that you'd help us, Father, and may we take to heart a few words of exhortation tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Okay, the text is chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. Paul's assessment of his own fight and assessment of his own ministry. I have finished my course and I have kept the faith, and it's worthwhile to say that the Lord didn't contradict him. Now, I want to just draw some thoughts from I have finished my course. And like I said, this has been banging around and bouncing around in my mind for several days now. And so many things have been preached and taught along this line that, like I said, sometimes what happens is the right moment seems to be for a sermon to be preached. So as you stand here as a Bible-believing Christian, it's 2020. You have been completely inundated with COVID-crazed stuff. Some of it fact, some of it nonsense. It seems to surround us at all times. I was telling somebody today or yesterday that I'm so tired of COVID-related news and issues. But you also live in an Antifa and BLM scenario. You have a crumbling society. By all measures, it just seems like everything that most Americans have been able to hang their bonnets on for a long time, it now seems that those things are kind of gradually crumbling away. So we're looking for a finish. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul personally finished, as you know, and if anything should stir you, it should be a guy that's finished his course. You should desire personally to finish as well. Now, that is true as that is. It is also the last days. It's also the last times the latter days, the latter times, in various passages. And whether you realize it or not, and I know most of you do, you are also almost dispensationally finished. Day coming soon when most of us will be, especially at the rapture, as we are looking for that, you'll be personally finished in that hour, of course, but you'll also be dispensationally finished, and that ought to really be a motivator to finish. I want to preach tonight for a little while on the simple word finish. Just finish. And some things seem to go on and on. We've gone on and on for a long time, for as long as I've been a Christian and listened to even Southern Baptist preaching. Folks have talked about the latter times, the latter days. Things are going to hell in a handbasket. It's not much longer. It's not much longer. And yet things still seem to just go on and on and on and on. And I'm sure that was probably the case in some regards for Paul. Whatever. But, you know, it does seem that some things that should be ending just go on and on. I'll never forget unloading grain trucks for my dad. We would put away the Milo, and of course it's harvested and put in a big old truck, and then you have to somehow get it in the silo, so you do that with an auger. And for us anyway, our system was simple. You had to scoop out the maize, the Milo, little grains of little orange grains. It's cow feed. And we had to scoop that out one shovel full at a time. I don't mean a small shovel. But there were times that I was left there as a boy to unload that whole truck by myself. And it just seemed like it took forever. It just seemed there could never be an end. It seemed like you were getting nowhere. It just went on and on and on and on. Another job I had like that was near our the area where we lived. There was some corporate land that was owned by some corporate farmers, and they were called Smiley Meadows. What they used the meadows for in the summer was growing hay for cattle. And so what would happen is, and when I talk about meadows, I'm talking about grasslands, I'm talking about prairie lands that were just acres upon acres upon acres, if not as far as the eye could see, certainly as far as it would want to see, because, I mean, it just went on and on and on. And so what would happen, and the only consideration was rain. So if there was rain in the forecast, then things kind of had to be held up. But those folks would go in and cut that hay and bale the hay, and they would bale as much as could possibly be hauled overnight. Sometimes they would work all night. And then it was the hauler's duty, the hay hauler's duty to get those up. And what happened is they'd go in, work all day. They would load a truck, take the truck to these big, massive barns. And all we had to do was throw the hay off. And then somebody was there to stack it. But, I mean, for as long as you could go, just as fast as you could go, day after day. I did this all of my sophomore summer. I spent my whole sophomore summer doing nothing but hauling hay at Smiley Meadows. And so we'd get there in the morning first thing, and just as hard as you can run all day, and just as much energy as you could take, as fast as you could do it, trying to keep up with the hay balers, we would haul hay, load the hay, go throw the hay off, come back, load the hay, go. I mean, after a while, it was pretty mindless. The bottom line is it just seemed like we were never getting anywhere. The meadows just went on and on. There was just always more hay to be baled, more hay to be hauled. It just went on and on forever and ever and ever. Of course, I look back on it now. That was more years ago than I would even care to try to divide out and subtract out. I don't have to divide, actually. But it just seemed that it would never end, and some things seem interminable, although you now look and they're over. And so that'll be the way it is one day. One day we'll look back and we will see this has been all a passing thing. Like I said, some things go on interminably, it seems. I told you the story this morning. I spent 30 minutes in an MRI machine yesterday. And this is a small little cave. It sounds like you're in a Star Wars movie because those things are noisy, loud, and weird. But you squeeze in there, and they tell you up front that you're going to have to spend 30 minutes there. It takes 30 minutes to do a head and chest. And so you lay there on this slab, not terribly comfortable, and you know, somebody my size, when they shove me into the machine, I mean, I feel the machine on both shoulders and on both elbows because it's just a pretty small claustrophobic thing. Now, I'm not horrifically claustrophobic, but as I'm laying there, and we've been through 15 minutes, he's told me in the intercom that we have 15 more minutes yet to go because he, you know, wants to keep you calm and stuff and all that. I'm sitting there, and my elbows are squeezed in, and my shoulders are squeezed in, and my back is aching, and all of a sudden I have to cough. And then I need to scratch my nose, and then I need to go to the bathroom. And really, unless you want to start over, all you can do is just lay there. And it just seemed like that last 5 minutes went forever and ever and ever. And I'm sure in talking about the second coming of Christ, or else your race finally being over, and you being an old man or woman and dying in faith, I'm sure that it just seems like that it's been so long and it's gone for so long that maybe it'll just never be over. But folks, there will be a finish. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And I want to preach to you tonight for just a few minutes about finish. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Okay, so to start with, let's just say this. Let's just say, just finish. I mean, finish, period. There are so many that start things today that don't finish anything. One thing you need to do is finish this. Salvation is such, we've studied so much these last few weeks, both on Wednesday night a couple of times as well as Sunday morning Sunday school, so much about standing in state. Surely most of you understand by now that salvation is such that you will finish one way or another. I mean, you will effectively be dragged across the finish line because you're eternally secure and saved, and now that you've made that decision, there's no going back. So in that regard, you could be dragged across the finish line, but I'll admonish this. Finish. Don't be dragged across. Finish. Finish this. There's too much starting and not enough finishing going on, and you need to concentrate on finishing. It's 2020. You ought to be thinking about finishing. Most of us who started, you know, our families and our ministries and churches and stuff all those years ago, we never in 100 years thought that we would be living in 2020. We were assured in so many ways, from so many different directions, for so many reasons, that the times were upon us and that we were not going to be seeing another 30 or 40 years go on. And here we are in 2020. Whatever else in 2020, whatever your disappointment that you have not yet seen the Lord's face, you ought to be thinking about finishing. You ought to be thinking about finishing. The times have been pregnant, for lack of a better term, for a long time. You can go back a couple of generations now and you start thinking about 1948 and Israel coming into her nationhood status and so on and so forth. The last two generations have seen so many things, so many indicators, and I'll say more about that in a second. And so, yeah, it's 2020, and here we are, and you have literally, it seems to me anyway, you have literally seen everything fall apart in 2020. And it's not just COVID. It's the transgender thing. It is BLM. It is, you know, socialism. It is everybody in a panic. It is everybody with their hair on fire. Politicians can't be counted upon. Of course, we knew that already and all those sort of things. But the fact of the matter is it seems like nothing is level and plumb anymore as far as the way we were used to things being. It's spooky But it's also a privilege to live in 2020 because it means that there's not much time left. And the fact of the matter is, folks, the hem is now being pinned on the bride's garment. And the fact of the matter is that you need to think long and hard about finishing, because finishing really is just around the corner. I can't tell you 7 years or 6 years or 20 years. I can't say it, because as soon as I say it, something's going to mess up. But the fact of the matter is that you need to finish. You need to finish, period. You will one day instantly, however it is that you feel at this moment, you may feel defeated, despondent, and you don't want to fight anymore, you don't want to go forward anymore. One day you're going to be instantly changed, and you will have the mind of Christ like that. I promise you, in that day, you will wish that you had finished. You will wish that you hadn't got dragged across the finish line. You will wish that you had fought another day. You will wish that you had labored more fervently for another day or two so that you could finish. So the first thing I simply have to say is finish, period. I mean, just finish. Just finish this. Now, there's this as well. Notice I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, you can see that whatever else is the case, Paul did finish his course, but he also fought a good fight. So the fight that he fought, he finished. So finish the fight. Finish the fight. It's possible that somebody has missed the memo around here in the last, few weeks and so on. I don't know. But this whole Christian life, this whole being saved in the midst of this current evil generation in this world, this being a faithful child of God in mortal life, this thing is a fight. It's a fight all the way. It's a conflict. We're called to be soldiers. We're called to fight the good fight of faith. We're called to so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. We're called to contend. So we're called to be contenders. We're called to war a good warfare. It is a fight that we're in. It is a fight that knocks most people out. It is a fight that you need to finish. And somewhere along the way in recent generations, and others probably could do a better job telling you when, where, and how than me. But somewhere along the way, the fight has gone out of the most recent generations. Now, they'll fight for human rights. They will fight for a positive self-image. They will fight over money. They will fight over taxes. They will fight over social movements, but when it comes to fighting a manly fight of faith, they're not interested in that. I got tickled this afternoon even thinking about it, because I've heard Gip preach two or three times on, we used to raise up soldiers, now we raise up God's IT men, internet technology. And that is so true. I mean, these days, folks seem more interested in gaming than they do in engaging in the Christian life. And so I just want to say that whatever else is the case, these recent generations have seemed to have lost the fight. If you've lost the fight, then I'm sorry, you're not finishing the fight. If you're not finishing the fight, there's a lot you're not finishing. And the fact is you're finishing defeated. So I want to say, finish the fight. I knew a Marine some years ago. And he got out of the Marines, went to Bible school, and graduated, and got married and all those things. And, Mr. Gung-ho, hoo-yah, and all that stuff. And that was all fine until one day he got backslidden. And this guy was one who would spend a great deal of time, and he actually celebrated the Marine birthday anniversary, whatever you call it, because I'm not a Marine, every year. It was a big deal. The last I checked, he is now self-validating on Facebook. I want to know where the fight went. You need to finish the fight. You just need to finish, period. But finish the fight. There's this too, look in 4:7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have finished my course. Now think about finishing my course. My course indicates a certain personalization. In rough terms, our courses probably are pretty similar. We're, a lot of us married, have kids, et cetera, like that. But think about the fact that Paul's course was also very individualized. It was very personalized. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. And so, plainly, his course would differ in some regards from ours because his was a specialized course. Now, I'm called a pastor. Not everybody's called a pastor. Some of you are called to teach Sunday school, and others are not. Some are called to be deacons, and some are not. Some are engaged in the street ministry. Some are not. Nursing homes, here's the deal. You need to finish what you should. That's the point. You should finish what you should. You see, your course is laid out, and your course may be a little different from mine because of a specific calling or some such thing, but you should finish everything that you should finish. Finish everything that you should. What God's laid out for you, if it means teaching a Sunday school class for the next 20 years, then finish that. Finish that. You're a mother, you're a father, you're a husband, you're a wife, you're raising kids, you're being a grandma or a grandpa. Finish all that you should. God has allowed those things in your life for you to be responsible in, however, you know, as much a secondary role as some of those things can be. But God intends for you to finish your course. You should finish everything that you should finish. It's all laid out for you. The Lord has specified some things about your course. I'm not called to judge that. You might not be called to write a book, but I promise you that you're called to read some. And so make sure that you finish what you should. Make sure you have read the books you're supposed to read. Let's start with the Bible, okay? But then go on to some other things, and I'm not suggesting you have to read my book, okay? Or my books. Don't worry about that. But you're called to read something, I'll tell you that. You may not be called to pray 2 hours a day, but you should pray some. And you may not be called and may never be called to go to the mission field. But I tell you what, you're called to pray for missionaries. And you're called to support a few on your own. You see, it'd be a shame, wouldn't it, to get to the judgment seat of Christ here one day soon and to realize that, too late, that there has been a ministry ready-made for your hand at your church that you had the personality for, that that suits you. It's something that you would have done. It fits you personally. It fits your gifts. And somehow it seemed to just bypass your attention, and so you never got around to it, and so you didn't finish everything that you should finish. I promise you, there'll be a day you regret that. I don't think any of us are called to win the world because I don't think the world's going to be won. But you're called to reach out and hand a tract to some folks along the way. You say, what's the point? Finish. Just finish, for one. For two, finish the fight. For three, finish everything that you should. Finish what the Lord has put in your hand, the Lord has laid upon you to do. It may be an office, it just may be a thing that you feel that as often as this happens, street preaching, visitation, nursing home, whatever it is, that you ought be a part because you can and you're pretty good at it, and you can fill a slot in those things. Make sure that you finish everything that you should, because you need to be concentrating on finishing. Finishing personally and knowing full well that dispensationally we're almost finished. And so it ought to become a preoccupation with you to finish. Look into chapter 4, verse 7 again. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I'll say this. You need to finish in faith. You need to finish in faith. That's how you started this walk in faith. And I got news for you. That's how you're going to have to finish it. Take your Bible real quick. Let me give you a supportive verse. Look in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and notice verse 6. And Paul says this, "As ye, you Colossians, have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord." How did they do that? By faith, right? "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." You're supposed to walk just like you received Him, by faith. He said, "I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith." So he finished in faith. You should finish, and you should concentrate on finishing in faith. Men for the last 100 years have oftentimes, without probably realizing it, tried to overthrow the faith by prophecy. And by that I mean they think they're seeing these prophecies fulfilled, and they think that's the countdown to the rapture. And so they have essentially turned the focus from faith to prophecy, that is seeing. Now, I would remind you doctrinally that the visible things that are seen regarding fulfillments about the second coming of Christ are about the second advent. The church walks by faith and not by sight. The prophecies that so many are preoccupied with and enumerate and expand on, and thousands, and there are folks that do this all the time, those folks are busy seeing things fulfilled that presage the second advent of Christ. As far as things presaging the rapture of the body of Christ, the church, us, there are only general things. The wicked men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, and those sort of things. But as far as things being fulfilled that we can put on a calendar so that we know that this year, next month, next decade will be the rapture, we don't have that. We walk as the body of Christ by faith until the trumpet sounds. And you should remember that the next time somebody gets on and is busy enumerating all the hundreds of things that have just recently come to pass that fulfill prophecy. I don't doubt that some of those things can be true. I also don't doubt that some things folks are swinging kind of a wide swath to make fit into their system. But the fact of the matter is that we walk by faith until the trumpet blows. And those things they're seeing fulfilled do presage, perhaps, the second advent of Christ. We're not looking for the second advent. We're listening for a trumpet, for a voice to cry out so we can get out of here. And until that day happens, we walk by faith till that very hour. You're never going to know life down here that you are not required as the bride of Christ to walk by faith. You must walk the way you started, and you have to finish the way you're walking. You have to finish in faith. We cling to invisible promises until we hear our voice called. And meanwhile, it's worthwhile to add, and some of these prophecy professors have contributed to it. there is, we walk by faith all the while that we are our faith is constantly attacked and assaulted. At every turn, from everywhere, including Christian quarters, your Bible is being torn down daily. And the things that folks do not like anymore, they simply dismiss and say that it must have been a cultural thing or a misinterpretation or some such thing. I just want to say that all the while you're walking by faith, the attacks mount, the assaults mount, and you need to focus on finishing by faith. What's going to matter to the Lord is that you finished in faith. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He finished in faith. So finish, period. Just finish. Finish the fight. Finish everything that you should, because I've finished my course, his course. He finished everything that he should in his course, because that course was set for him by God. So finish everything that you should, and finish in faith. I can add this. It's not really in the passage. You won't have any trouble finding Bible for it. You need to finish strong. Now, I'd like to just say, secondly, you need to finish right. You know, anybody that's watched sports, that's watched the Vikings, or maybe it's basketball or some such thing like that, but everybody has known of times when your favorite team was way far ahead of somebody else's team. And starting in the third quarter or the fourth quarter or the second half or whatever, they started playing not to lose. And either lost or wound up almost losing because they were playing the game differently. They didn't finish the game right, right? How often have you seen the Vikings or some other team go up 14 points in the second half and then fall back and start playing defensively, trying to protect their victory, their margin? And how often has that fallen apart? And you've watched a comeback and you wind up in overtime, and of course the Vikings always lose in overtime. In fact, they just always lose. You say, well, what's the point? Well, they didn't finish strong. As far as the game of football or basketball, they didn't finish right, because they kind of went into a Christian rope-a-dope thing, and that's what I say. It'd be easy for us right now to fall back and hear COVID's kind of weird, and so let's hunker down and bunker in, and let's not go out on a limb, and let's not keep trying to do all that we should. Let's go into the Christian rope-a-dope act and try to cover up to keep from getting slugged and knocked out. After all, we're almost done. Well, being almost done, you should concentrate on finishing strong and finishing right. Tomorrow, you could start doing something that you have not heretofore in your Christian life done. Or maybe you just haven't done it well, and you could do it better. Maybe it's not been a thing for you to try. Never mind soul winning. Think about putting tracks in your pocket and giving a track to somebody that's hiding behind a mask. Just think about trying that. You don't get turned down that horribly often. And if you've never done that, that's something you can start doing tomorrow that maybe you've never done in your lifetime. Maybe you used to do it well and now you don't do it anymore. You could start again. Because I tell you, you need to finish strong. You need to finish doing more than you've been doing. You need to finish right. I'd like to bring this thought into this real fast, and I'm closing up here pretty quick, so don't get restless on me. Look in Luke chapter 14 real fast. Luke chapter 14. And think about finishing as a better disciple than you are today, maybe. Look in Luke chapter 14. Go down, if you will, to verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, don't fret. Nobody's talking about malignant hatred here. We're talking about a comparative, like with Leah and Rachel. We're talking here about loving God more than loving father, mother, wife, or children. And that's a perfectly biblical thing. Some of you don't like it, but it is perfectly biblical for a man to love his God more than he loves his wife. And by the way, it's holy for a woman to love her God more than she loves her husband. And some folks don't like to hear it. But it is true. Now, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, and think about all the conflicts that you know of in Christian families, folks that you're acquainted with and know, where the wife's not aboard with the husband's not aboard with the wife, the children are no longer anyway aboard with parents, where mother and father make life miserable for the children who are grown and have their own kids because grandma and grandpa insist that it must be done another way. Just think how often you know of scenarios like that. And he says, if you don't hate father, mother, wife, and children, and so on, and brethren, and your own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And I think if you look at Laodicean Christianity in that light, that you see what mighty wimps we are, right? Okay, verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, he's talking about discipleship here. So, for, and then he illustrates, for which of you intending to build a tower, for instance, sitteth not down first and come and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? And the tower is representative of discipleship here in this passage. Verse 29, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth, whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, there's heavy things in there for you to think about and all those things. Most of us have been on that ground at one point or another. I'm only saying tonight, you need to finish strong, and you need to finish right. And I'll just ask you, where do you stand in what Jesus Christ declares is discipleship? When it comes to family, when it comes to brethren, when it comes to counting a cost, when it comes to you putting you on a crucifix, on a cross, and living your life as if you were really a living sacrifice, where do you stand with that? Because I'll tell you what, you need to finish strong. You need to finish right. How about he must increase and I must decrease? Less of me, more of him. How you doing with that? I mean, that's a perfectly reasonable thing. Less of me, more of him. I don't even know in a Facebook generation if it even applies. I mean, it's always more of me, right? It's very few that you can talk to about less of me, more of him. Finish strong. Those are just some ideas for you. Finish right. You know, finish where you should. Finish where God placed you. Quit finding an excuse not to serve where you are, where God placed you, and because that's where you should be. Finish where you should. Quit making excuses not to be there. Finish where you should. Finish the way that you should. It's like the Lord's parable where father goes to his sons and says, go to my vineyard. And one son says, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. And the other said, I will, but never went. And so the Lord asks and says, who is it that did my will? He said, plainly the answer is the one that said, I will not, but afterward repented and went, right? Why can't that be you? All the times you've turned down an opportunity to be reproved or to have somebody try to ransom you from yourself and to try to pick you up and advance you to some sort of the next stage somehow, to be an encouragement to you, how often might you have turned that down? Why is it that you can't turn around at this point, just as the finish line is just about to come clear around the corner there? Why can you not pick up and finish strong now, finish right now? It doesn't matter what happened in the past. Now, if you finish strong now, you finish strong. And you did what the Lord said do, in spite of the fact that at first you said you wouldn't go. Finish strong. Finish right. And then I'll close with this. Look in your Bibles in Acts 20. And the weird thing about this passage is that this is a passage where Paul is technically out of the perfect will of God in going to Jerusalem. He has three times turned away the Holy Spirit's admonishments not to go. And yet he says this remarkable thing, and it's Paul was so zealous for God and so thirsty to convert his people that the Lord let him by with some things. But notice what he says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me. And some of those things should, because he's just said in verse 23, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. Well, he should have listened, right? And yet he says, but none of these things move me. Now, they should have. Yet it's kind of hard to hold it against him, right? Considering who he was and what he did. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. And I wonder sometimes, you know, even where I stand with that, because I do like my flesh. And he says, so that I might finish my course. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. So this is still in the future. He said, that I might finish my course with joy. Now, I can't prove Paul finished his course with joy, but I have to think that he did. And I have to think that I can. And I have to think that you can, if you will. You need to finish. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Finish with joy. I don't know how Paul, as far as I recall, did not address directly his joy in going. I believe that you can read in and see that he was joyous in going. I can't help but remember one of the saints that was dying. His dying words were, after a long, bitter illness, and he's an old man and a Christian, his ending words were, his last words, I go to death as a boy bounding away from school on the first day of summer vacation. And that is about as childish and an unbounded joy as I can think of. A boy being released from school in the spring to go live his life all summer long, catching frogs and all that kind of stuff. You say, what's the point? Well, you should finish with joy. You should finish with joy. The joy of the Lord, your strength. The Bible talks an awful lot about joy. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. That means that you should be a witness. It means that there will be something missing of joy in your life unless you can and do speak for God, unless you take this ambassadorship as a reality. But finish with joy. Finish, period. Just finish. Finish the fight. Finish everything that you should. Finish in faith. Finish strong. Finish right. And finish with joy. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you for a chance to preach both morning and night today, especially after a weird day yesterday. I'm glad that all is well with me and for those as well that hear, and appreciate folks' concern and prayer. I pray that you might help turn our hearts towards home here a little bit, as that's literally what we're talking about, is going home. And our going home could be tonight. It could be any time. All we know is that we're near the finish. We don't know whether it's weeks, months, or years. And we really, honestly, I'll be honest, I don't expect to. I may be wrong, but I don't truly expect to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. But Lord, we know we're near the finish. I pray that you would help us to finish as we've discussed here tonight. I pray you might advance somebody along the next step along the way that has heard these things preached tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.